Bezras Hashem Yisbarech, today's daf is Lamed Dalet in Maseches Erevin. It is a 252nd daf in Shas. We pick up a few lines from the bottom on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. We are going to be analyzing Rebbe Yirmiah's Hezber. Rebbe Yirmiah in yesterday's daf had told us, 6 lines from the bottom, that if there is a branch that could be brought into one's own domain that has an Eruv, then there isn't a problem of who b'makom echad v'eruva b'makom acher, that they're in two distinct places. The Gemara will challenge Rebbe Yirmiah's opinion from other areas in Halacha in the sugyas of Eruvin. On the bottom of Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara will discuss the permissibility of placing an Eruv in a very big bar. The Gemara will discuss the idea of Rishus Hayachid going up until the heavens. The Mishnah on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, the first Mishnah, we'll have 2 Mishnahs, will discuss placing an Eruv on a very large pole. And the Gemara will then go on to discuss the status of poles as a separate Rishus. And then the Mishnah will discuss, the next Mishnah will discuss the status of placing an Eruv inside a tower, which will bring us into tomorrow's daf, and that will be the viability of breaking down a tower on Shabbos, whether one can do it or not, and does a tower have a problem of who b'makom echad v'aruva b'makom acher. The Gemara will also discuss not only towers, but also breaking utensils on Shabbos. Let's begin with Rebbe Yirmiah, 8 lines from the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Rebbe Yirmiah Omar. Rebbe Yirmiah, yesterday we had learned, said, Shani Kalkala, that the halacha is that if you have an Erev inside of a basket, even if the basket is in a separate domain, and we should have a problem of who b'makom echad v'aruva b'makom acher, ho v'yachal entosa l'avia l'soch asar, since you're able to bring the branch into your domain and lower it down into your domain in the area of the Rishus HaRabim, then in such a case, it's considered as if he and the Erev are in the same area. Yasa Rav Papa v'kamer la Shmaitza. Rav Papa said over this teaching of Rabbi Yirmiah, Eis ve'rav Rav Bar Shva l'Rav Papa. Rav Bar Shva asked Rav Papa the following kasha. We're discussing now a Mishnah later on Daf Lamed Ches that describes, as Rashi delineates very beautifully over here in Dibra Maschil Masiv, an individual who wants to have his Erev in one place on Yom Tov and then have his Eruv in another place on Shabbos, and he sends his Shliach before Yom Tov in one direction. Let's see this insight. Ketzuduosa, Malicha Barishon, Umachshichalov, Vinotlov. He sends a Shliach on one day to place the Eruv in one area, and then he was Koneshvis in that direction. Ubalo, and then he's going to be able to go there on the first day. Bisheini, on the second day, Machshivalov Achla Ubalo. He could send the individual the next day in the opposite direction and be Konef Shvisa for him in the other place. Asks the Gemara, Tapalam Dalet Amud Aleph, Amai. Why does this need to be done that on each Erev of either Shabbos or Yom Tov, he sends somebody to where he wants to be Kona Shvisa? Neima, let us say, Kivan di boy amtuye matzi mamtile. If he wanted, he could have gone in that direction. If he wanted to send the Shliach, he could have sent the Shliach there. Afagavdalo amtiye, command amtiye dami. And even if he doesn't send the Shliach, it's as if he did. Just like we said in regards to the branch, according to Rabbi Yirmiah, even if right now the branch is not as Rishos, since it has the potential, that is going to be enough. Says Rabbi Zeira, good point. However, Amar Rabbi Zeira, here we're going to defend Rabbi Yirmiah. Zeira Mishum Yom Tov Shechalios Achar Shabbos. There is one type of instance that you will not be able to use this quote-unquote trick. You will not be able to use the idea of one day sending your Shliach in one direction and the other day in another direction. And that is if the first of the 2 days is Shabbos. Because on Shabbos, you will not be able to send the Eruv with a Shliach who's going to be carrying on Shabbos. Now, if we have a suggestion of when a Shliach could carry, send them on one day in one direction, one day in another direction, there won't be any problem. What happens if we say, once you have the potential, it's going to be mutter? People are going to realize that the only time they have the potential is if it's 2 days of Yom Tov, or Yom Tov comes before Shabbos. They will not know that they cannot go in two different directions when Shabbos comes before Yom Tov. Okay, so we successfully defended Rabbi Yirmiyah on this front through the argument of Reb Zera. The Gemara continues with another kasha. Esvein is scaving lishpos b'rishus harabin. If an individual intends to be kona shvisa in a rishus harabin, so he's putting his eruv down in a rishus harabin. Now, normally, in order to be kona shvisa in a rishus harabin, you got to leave the eruv in the rishus harabin. If you don't, so then you'll have the problem that the eruv is not in its appropriate place. But here, it's in a middle category. Bekosel lemato me'asar tvachim. If he puts it in a wall less than 10 tvachim from the ground, in such a case, a wall less than 10 tvachim in the ground with a crevice inside, like you see in your diagram, in the Hod V'Hadar, it's diagram Reish Chav Zayin. So there, in such a case, it's a karmelis. And the halacha is, Rashi explains, that if you would put in a karmelis, you'd be able to move it pachos midalad amos during Bein Hashmashos to the Rishus HaRabim where you are, and therefore it's considered in your domain. Lemala me'asar tvachim, but if it's above 10 tvachim, that is already considered in a Rishus HaYachid. Ein eruv ha'er. Then, since he can't bring it into his area, it's not a valid eruv. Similarly, niskavin lishpos b'rosh ha'shovach. Here we have a diagram that shows us a dovecote, or let's put it in simple New York terms, a birdhouse. Diagram Reish Chaf Tes. So if he wants to be on the top of that birdhouse, so then, lemala me'asar tfachim, if the bread is also above 10 tfachim, then they're in the same area, eruv ve'eruv. Lemat me'asar tfachim, but if it's less than 10 tfachim, so he is resting above 10 tfachim. And the Eruv is in a separate Rishus, is in the Rishus HaRabim. It's less than 10 tvachim from the ground. Then there are two separate Shriyos, Ein Eruv Eruv. Asks the Gemara, wait a second. You know what the Migdal case is? Take a look at the diagram. Migdal, in the time of Chazal, was actually not a tower. It's conveniently translated as a tower, but it's really not. Now, this tower looks like a closet, as you see from diagram Reish Lamid. And right now, the Eruv is above 10 Tfachim or below 10 Tfachim. Let's talk about the case where it's in one of the shelves that's within 10 Tfachim of the ground. Lamata Me'asar Tfachim asks the Gemara, if we take Rabbi Yirmiyah's argument from Lamin Gimel Amud Beis, that the potential to be able to move it close to you is enough, you could turn the closet from standing vertically to standing horizontally, as you see in diagram Reish Lamed Beis. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah will have a simple teretz. Hacha b'migdol mesumar askinen. Here we're talking about where the closet is nailed to the ground and cannot be moved. Rav Amar filu tem b'migdol she'enu mesumar. You don't have to say it's nailed. V'hacha b'migdol aruch askinen. We're talking about a very long closet, a very long tower. The imamti leporta. If you're going to turn it in inside, azul chutz la'arba amis, then the entire eruv is going to end up moving outside of its dalet amis. Now the Gemara clarifies how the closet was made. Hechi dami, idika kusa umasna. If we're talking about a kusa is a window, misna is a rope, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, leisa bikavsa umasna, then you don't need to bend the aron and be stuck that it's not going to be in the same domain as the person if it's lamata me'asar tvachim and he wants to be on top, wants to be kona shvisa on top. If you have a rope that is opened up to the closet, as you see in diagram number Reish Lamed Gimel, that's how we're going to learn, then you could access it just like you can access an eruv on top of the tree. Tosis points out in Dibar Maschil Iika that it was not common to have this in regards to a tree. However, when it comes to a closet, It is common to put a window into a closet and sometimes attach a rope in it. And we could add, once we introduced that Rabbi Yirmiya talks about the possibility of being able to bring it, so now, once we've suggested that, according to Rabbi Yirmiya, why don't we suggest it in a closet as well? So the Gemara answers, you're right. Umas delesle kivsa umasna. We're talking about a case where there was no window and rope inside the closet. We continue three lines to the bottom. Lama dalet amud aleph. The Mishnah had told us, nasno bebar afilu mea amok mea ama. Even if there is a pit that is 100 amos deep, and he is next to the bar, it's considered as if he and his Erev are in the same place, as our Mishnah delineates, Alam Ebeiz, Am Ebeiz. The emphasis is that that's different if the Erev is placed above Tent Vachim and he is standing on the ground. The Mishnah told us they are in different places. However, if we're talking about a bar, then even if it's 100 Amos deep and he's standing by the edge of the bar, that is going to be fine. Analyzes the Gemara, Hai bar dekoy hechi dam hecha. Where is the bar located? In other words, in what type of rishus is it located? Ilema dekoy b'rishus hayachid. If we're going to say that the bar is in rishus hayachid, so then the Eruv is considered in that same rishus hayachid. And if he wants to be kona shvisa there, it will work. Pshita. It's considered in that same rishus hayachid. Rishus hayachid ola adur lakiyah. Just like the Rishus Hayachid goes all the way up, if there's a bar that goes all the way down, the Rishus Hayachid goes all the way down as well. That would be obvious, and we wouldn't even need a Mishnah for it. What we're talking about is a ditch that is found in the Rishus Harabim. Says the Gemara, where does the individual want to be Kona Shvisa? Ilamala, if he wants to be kona shvisa above the ditch, at the edge of the ditch, hu b'makom echad ve'ruve b'makom acher, he's in one area, the Rishus HaRabim, and the Eruv is in the pit, and the pit is a separate area. As Rashi explains in the second line, if a bar is 10 tfachim deep, it's a Rishus HaYachid, so then it can't be kona shvisa. Ilamata, and if he's down in the bar and he wants to be kona shvisa there, pshita huve ru makom echad. Answers the Gemara, loy tzricha the chidush of the bar amak mea in our Mishnah la midbeiz. Amidbeiz is talking about the following case: the koy b'karmelis. He is putting an eruv in a bar which is in a karmelis. Viniskavein lishbos lemala, and he wants to be kona shvisa at the edge of the bar which is in a karmelis. And the chiddush is the Rebbe. Since the Eruv is in a bar, which is a Rishus Hayachid, and he wants to be Kona Shvisa on a Carmelis, really it shouldn't work. Except because one's a Carmelis, he's in a Carmelis, and the Eruv is in a bar, which is a Rishus Hayachid. But once we have Rebbe Domar, called Avar Shum Shvos, Lo Gazra La Bein Hashmashas, Carmelis is only an Isser Derabbanan, it's only considered a separate Shus. Midrabbanan, since when it comes to Erev, Erev is Kone Shvisa according to Rebbe. On Bein Hashmashos, he could take the Erev, Bein Hashmashos, from the pit to the Carmelis, and for that reason, he'll be Kone Shvisa, because we don't consider him and his Erev in separate Rishuyos, if it's only a separate Rishuyos Midrabbanan, because Bein Hashmashos, he'd be able to bring it to himself in the Carmelis. Our next Mishnah continues about placing an Eruv in an area that seems to be removed from the individual, that one might have thought, Huve Eruvo B'makom Acher, which has been the subject of the last two or three Dapim, but is really not. Says the Mishnah, Nasno Barosh Hakana, if he puts the Eruv on top of a stick, Oberosh Hakundus. It is not clear from the Mefarshim what the difference exactly between a kono and a kundus is. They seem to be two different types of rods. A kono is generally translated as a rod. A kundus might be a beam. Bizman shu talush. No matter how high it is above the ground, if the rod and the beam was not a tree, but was detached from the ground, v'no'utz, and anchored into the ground, afilu gavoa mea ama hareza eruv. Even if it's 100 ama up, it's considered an eruv. Rashi explains in Dibar Maschel Afilu that normally, if something is already 10 tfachim above the ground and 4 wide, then in such a case, it's a Rishus HaYachid. And if he wants to be Kona Shvisa in the Rishus HaRabim, it won't work because hu ve'eruvo However, over here, since the kundus is not 4 tfachim wide, the halach is that we view him and his eruv in 2 different rishuyos. Rami le Rav Ada bar Masna le Rava. Rav Ada bar Masna asked to Rava a question. Talush v'notz in. Lo talush v'notz lo. Our Mishnah told us that the only time this halacha would apply, that we consider it, hu ve'eruva b'makom echad, even if it's 100 amos, is if the pole was not something that naturally grown out of the ground, it was talush and then attached, but if it had originally been attached to the ground, then in such a case, the eruv would not be valid. Mani, who is that calling according to? Rabbanani, it seems to be following the opinion of the Rabbanan. The Amri that say, called over shum mishum shvus, gazru alav bein hashmashos. They made a gzeira bein hashmashos about climbing up a tree. Since they made a gzeira even bein hashmashos, the eruv is not accessible to him. If it would be something that wasn't naturally attached to the ground, that once been detached, so he could bring a ladder and climb up the pole. And even if he can't bring a ladder, in Gur there were large poles, they threw up their gartel, and he carried himself up, he pulled himself up with the gartel. Either way, he could do that on a pole. He could do that in Gur, but you can't do that even in Gur, even if you want to see the Rebbe, if it's a tree. And that applies even Bein Hashmashos. Asks the Gemara, Va'amrit Reisha Rebbe. But didn't we learn a previous Mishnah was following the opinion of Rebbe? On Lamed Beis Amid Beis, Rav Nachman, 12 lines from the bottom, explained the Mishnah that said that if you have an Eruv on a tree, which is 4 tfachim wide, you could still be Kone Shvisa for the ground, because you could climb up the tree, according to the opinion of Rebbe on Bein Hashmashos. So how could the two Mishnayis on Lamed Beis Amid Beis be following Rebbe, and this Mishnah be following the Rabbanu who say you cannot climb out up the tree? This is the question that Rav Ada bar Masna asked Rava. Amalei Rava responded, Kfar Rami Le Rami bar Chamla Rav Chizda Vishani Le Reisha Rebbe V'Sefer Rabbanan. This question was asked, and the answer was, you're right. You have to say that the Reisha is Rebbe, and the Sefer is going according to the Rabbanan. Ravina Amar Kula Rebbe. Ravina says, no, even our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rebbe. If it's following the opinion of Rebbe, so then why is it that the Mishnah has to go out of its way to say we are talking about an instance of a Kana or a Kundus, which was not originally growing from the ground, but had been cut off and reattached to the ground. The Sefer Gzeirah Shema Yikdam, and the Sefer prohibited using a tree because we're afraid to allow someone to use a kana that is attached to the ground because they might come and cut part of it off. If, however, it is not attached to the ground, then there wouldn't be an Isser of Kotzer. In contrast, says Rashi, when it comes to a tree, where a tree is sturdy, we're not afraid that a person is going to climb up and break off a branch, because of Bein Hashmashos, we didn't make that gezeira. And simply in climbing, there's nothing that's likely to fall off of the tree. Only if it's a kana is it likely to have something that breaks off easily. Gemara continues, Ahu pumasa das l'narda, there were soldiers that came to Narda. Amaluhu Rav Nachman. Amaluhu Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said to his students to set up for the soldiers, how to set up seats for them. Poku avidu kvushi kivshi ba'agma. Set up seats of rods for them, of kanim, in the swamp. Ulamachar nezel v'nesiv alavei. So they will have something that they're able to sit on. Esve rami barchan l'Rav Nachman. V'amil l'Rav Ukva barabal l'Rav Nachman. But didn't we learn that there's a problem with rods when they're still attached to the ground? And these rods were still attached to the ground. Talush v'no'etz in, lo talush v'lo no'etz lo. If you have something that's attached to the ground, so then in such a case, and it had been once cut off, we're not afraid of Shema Yikdom. that he's going to cut off a piece of the rod. Why are we not concerned about that in the case of the soldiers? Amalei, Rav Nachman responded to Rav Barchama, Hasam b'Zradin. There we're talking about strong reeds that are called Zradin. Uminat Timra, Dishani Lambeinu Zradin L'Shein Zradin. How do I know there's a distinction between these types of reeds? The Sanya we learned in a Braisa in Klayim, Hakonim v'Atodim v'Hagin min Ilanhein, Ve'enam Klayim b'Kerem. Type of reeds are considered like trees, and therefore they would not be subject to klayim if they'd be mixed with vines. V'tanya idach, and there are other reeds. Hakonim akidim v'arvonin min yerekein v'hein klayim b'kerem. They're considered like vegetables and produce klayim. Kasha adadi. There seems to be a contradiction. El shmamina kambu zrodin kambu she'enu mizrodin shmamina. You must say that the distinction when it comes to klayim is that when we're talking about uzrodim, so then they're strong and they're considered like a tree. However, those that are weaker, those are considered like a yerek. So we see that the halacha differentiates between those two, and therefore we don't have the chash of shema yikdom on uzrodin, which in Hilchos klayim even goes so far as to be considered a tree. And like we said above, by a tree, we're not afraid of shema yikdom. Yikdom means it's going to cut off a small amount. Vikida min yeriku. We mentioned that akida falls into the category of a vegetable. Vatanan eimar kivin pagam agabe kida levonim pneishu yerek b'ilan. That we have a kida. It can't be mixed with a pogum, which is, Rashi says, a roda, which is a type of tzemach, the Hebrew translate, with kida, and we consider that mixing a vegetable with a tree. Amar of Papa, kida lechud v'kida levana lechud. The case where it's considered a tree is a kida levana. The case of where it's called a vegetable is a stam kida. Let us do the Mishnah of Nasnu b'Migdal and set up the Gemara up at Be'ezer Hashem. We will leave the Gemara for tomorrow's daf. Nisano b'Migdal v'ibeira mafteach. If a person put an Eruv inside a tower. Now, I had always translated Migdal as a tower, like we know from Migdal David or Migdal Bavel. However, thanks to the Hod V'Hadar, this case becomes a lot clearer. As we mentioned earlier in Amud Aleph, a Migdal is a closet with many shelves. At least in the case on Amud Aleph, it had many shelves. So you have this closet, V'Ibed HaMafteach, and the key got lost. Hareza Erev, even though the Erev is locked inside, it's valid. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Emeini Yodeh Shem Aftech B'Mikomo, Eino Erev. Rabbi Eliezer says, if he doesn't know where the key is, even if the key exists, it's not going to be considered a valid Erev. Rashi just adds that the Aron is in a Rishus HaYachid. If the Aron was in a Rishus HaRabim, then we would have a problem that the Erev is in an Aron, which is a Rishus HaYachid, and he is in a Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara in tomorrow's daf, for quite a while, is going to be bothered, and this is why we're stopping over here, because it's not appropriate to begin this Gemara and stop it in the middle. It goes all the way to the next Mishnah. The Gemara is going to be bothered that the Reisha seems to allow an instance where you can't access the Eruv, and we have a problem of Hu b'makom echad ve'eruvo b'makom acher. There is also a very important Tosos that points out that the Gemara will answer that we're talking about Migdal that is easy to take apart. Tosos points out that if we're not talking about a Migdal that's easy to take apart, a Migdal of Levanim, that one could easily take apart, then we're talking about a Migdal of Eitz. And the Gemara here is assuming that you can't break open the Aron. Tosis asks that we have a rule on Daf Kuf Mem Vav Amud Aleph in Maseches Shabbos, Shover Adam Es HaChavis Lito Mimenu Grogeris, that one is allowed to break open a barrel to get which is inside of it. And Tosis evokes a very important rule, and that is Ein Binyan Vestira Bekelim. Take a look at the Tosis. And Be'ezras Hashem, we will give a very basic background to that sugya in the halacha from the daily daf. Be'ezras Hashem Yizbarech, our halacha topic from the daily daf for daf lamidalad imeseches erevin is the opening of cans on Shabbos as it emerges directly from our daf. The Mishnah on lamidalad amibayz tells us that the halacha is that if an Erev is trapped inside of a closet and the key is lost, it is considered a valid Erev. The Gemara asks, but what about who ve'eruvo eino b'makom echad? He and the Erev are not in the same place because he cannot access the Erev. It should be considered, explains Rashi, as two different places. The Gemara gives a fascinating answer. The Gemara says we're talking about a migdal, a closet that is made of bricks that are piled up that could easily be assembled and disassembled. Tosas on Lamed Daled Amud Beis, one of the most important Tosasin in all of Hilchos Shabbos, Dibar Maschil Va'amai, and this repeats itself in Maseches Shabbos on Kuf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, Dibar Maschil Shover Adam, asks a bomb kasha. And that is, the Gemara seems to be assuming that if the Migdal was made out of wood, you would not be able to break it open. Yet, we have a Beferish Mishnah. Shover Adam es achavis. The Mishnah tells us on Kuf Mem Vav Amud Aleph in Shabbos that you're allowed to break open a barrel, lechol emenu grogeris, to eat a date that is inside. The Gemara fleshes out because we have a rule of ein binyan v'stira b'kelim. Halachically, breaking open a kli is not considered bone or stira. You might be familiar that this is a big sugya in Shas, in Lamed Gimel and Beitza, as well as over there. We're going to have it on tomorrow's daf, on Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, but that's the conclusion. Asks to Osos, why does the Gemara say the issue is that you could access the Eruv because we're talking about a specific type of migdal? Let us say that's the average type of migdal, a wooden type of closet. Most closets today are made out of closet. And wood, excuse me. And the reason why you're allowed to access it, because there's no problem of breaking it. Tosas gives two terutzim. One terutz Tosas gives is that we're talking about a large utensil. Ein binyan v'stira b'kelim only applies to small utensils. This position is codified in the Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah and Siman Shin Yud Dalet Sif Aleph, as well as another teretz that Tosas gives. And that's the teretz that we're going to focus on. Tosas says a big chidush. And the big chidush is that shover adam es achavis is not a regular chavis. A regular chavis would be prohibited. However, what we're talking about is a chavis that some Rishonim refer to as a mustaki, which is based on the Gemara in Beitz on Lamed Gimel on the Beis, and that is that it is not a high-quality barrel. Actually, it's a pieces of barrel that were once broken apart and then glued together. It's a shabby keli. Since it's a shabby keli, then there is no real stira that you're doing to this utensil. This is the psak in halacha. And what I mean by that is, this is how in contemporary halacha, we assume about our sugya and the Mishnah of Shover Adam Es HaChavis. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Shin Yudalad Sif Katan Aleph writes, Avalim Hoysa Shleima Havestira Gemura Va'asar Afilu Bikli Katan, and that's following on the words of the Mechaber, Ein binyan v'stira v'kelim v'hani mili she'ein a binyan mamish kigon chavis shenishbra v'dibek shivareha b'zefes yachol l'shaber likach masha b'socha. The only time it's permissible to open a kli or destroy a kli, when we say ein binyan v'stira v'kelim, and we're focusing now on the stira part, is if it is a weak kli. This brings us to a very important question. Halacha l'maisa. We've discussed this previously in the halacha from the daily daf, and now we come to it from a different angle in Erevin Lamed Daled Amud Beis, and that is, what's the story with opening cans on Shabbos? At the end of the day, a can is not a few pieces of shabby wood. A can could really, really, really last. Is opening up a can, let's say a can of peaches, a can of applesauce, a metal can we're discussing right now, is that a problem of stira b'kelim? There are three different explanations from the great poskim of why a can would be permissible to open on Shabbos. Of course, keep in mind that you're not allowed to make a fine hole as the Mechaber goes on to say, which will be a separate Isser of Nekev Yofa, which we've discussed in the past, and Halacha from the Daily Daf and Sefer Shabbos. Here are the three reasons. The Chazon Ish in Orach Chaim Nun Aleph Yud Aleph says a brilliant idea which we've elaborated on in the past, and that is when a can is a metal can that is closed, it's not considered a kli altogether. Unlike a barrel that serves a function when it is holding the material, for example, many of these barrels have a spout that you could use to let the contents out. The Chazon Ish says it's not considered a utensil at all. In the past, we've mentioned Rav Nevensal's question about this when we were discussing this position of the Chazon Ish in Perakira. Although the Chazon Ish would be machmir, that to open it and then to use it as a utensil would be a problem of bonim. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, our grand Rebbe in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa Perek Tes Ha'ora Yud, claims that it is considered a kli. This is what I heard from his great Talmud, our great Rebbe, Rav Nevensal Shlita. However, it will be permissible to open it because it's considered like a mustaki. Since it's not normal for a can to be used more than once and it's immediately thrown out, then it's no longer like a healthy barrel. It might be strong, but a healthy barrel was reused and reused. A mustaki was one that was weak and tended not to be reused. And therefore, if you throw it out, it's considered like a mustaki, and then it becomes mamish, tesis, lamedalad, amabez, meseches, erevin, and mutter. Finally, Rav Moshe Feinstein, in a similar but slightly different approach, in our Chaim Chelek Alef Simin Kuf Chaf Bez, Anaf Tes, suggests that the reason why it's permissible to open a can is because of a halacha in Simin Shin Yud Dalet, Sifches, called chosalos. Chosalos were the utensils that were used to hold dates, and they were made out of palm branches. So they were like these wicker baskets that the Mechaber says expressly you're allowed to break. Rav Moshe is Mechadesh that really there's no difference between the wicker baskets and the metal can, because at the end of the day, the usage of them was the same. It was a klipa. It was an outer membrane that was there to protect the food. That's all this metal cap, metal utensil is. It's not a real kli. It's a klipa that's there to protect the food. It is for these three reasons that if one is not going to use the utensil again, that it would not be an Isser and Shabbos. Whether the Chazon Ish would say that that would be enough is debatable, but clearly, Reb Shlomo Zalman and Reb Moshe Feinstein, Zichrei Tzadikim Levracha, held that it was permissible, and if I'm not mistaken, it is the minig of Klal Yisrael to follow this leniency that emerges from our Taisis in Erevin on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. This Bezer Hashem concludes the Halacha topic from Daf Lamed Aleph.